Good evening, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi. We are considering what God said directly to the spiritual leaders and to the people of that day, and what he said indirectly through his servant Malachi, and we want to consider something of what God said to his people, particularly these solemn, these serious charges that God brought against his people. We want to apply these things to ourselves and allow God to work in our life today, that we will not be guilty of these charges. I trust that as we go through the book of Malachi this month, as we consider what God had to say to his people of that day, that we will allow the Holy Spirit of God to register these things in our hearts and minds, that we will meditate upon them, and that we will be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in regard to these things. This is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to take what we read and consider from the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and make it real in our life. We considered on the Lord's Day that one of the seven charges that God brought against the people of Malachi's day is found in verse 2. Verses 1 through 5, actually, but the charge is found in verse 2. God said to his people, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? And with each charge that God brings against his people, they are defiant, actually, asking wherein. And we see this throughout these four short chapters. But they were doubting the love of God. Now, the master thought of this little book of Malachi is fellowship with God. Malachi, this messenger, his name means my angel or my messenger, whether that was indeed a name or a description, we're not sure, and it's not important. But Malachi had to deal with a people whose glorious history was that of fellowship with Almighty God, whose shameful history was that of infidelity to that fellowship. Now, if that be recognized, then we will have a better understanding of this little book if this truth be recognized, we shall find a threefold permanent value of this little book. Number one, here we have a revelation of the unfailing love of Jehovah. Number two, a revelation of human infidelity. And three, a revelation of the secrets of strength in an age of failure. What is the secret of strength in an age of failure? We find it in Malachi. We'll look to it in just a minute or two. You might remember the emphasis of the book of Hosea is the love of God. In fact, it's all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the love of God. We were singing about it. But God used this man Hosea in a very unusual way. He said to Hosea, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said, now, Hosea, I want you to go and take a wife from the prostitutes. Her name was Gomer. Hosea did so. And God knew what Gomer would do in wounding Hosea's love. Gomer left Hosea. She ran with other men. And she went downhill all the way. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. People go out and they play the field and they think, boy, this is really living. It might be the best that this life can offer to start with. Fancy clothes, the best of automobiles, the best of everything. But then it winds up being destitute, penniless, no one caring for you at all. And you wind up in poverty in every way. That's the way it was with Gomer. She left Hosea, started running with other men. She wound up as a slave after running the gauntlet. She wound up as a slave in the slave market. And God said, now, Hosea, I want you to go and buy her back and prove your love for her. I said God used Hosea in a very unusual way, but God used Hosea in that way to emphasize to his chosen people God's love for them. Even though they were guilty of spiritual prostitution, God still loves them. And the thrust of what we have in verse 2 of chapter 1 is, I have always loved you. I do love you. I will always love you. And what was their response? Wherein hast thou loved them? So theirs was an attitude of defiance, actually. And here in Malachi, it is love that is wounded. And as we said in closing Sunday night, if Satan can just get us in that position that we're not cultivating the love of God, to have doubts about this agape love that our brother referred to, this highest love, if Satan can get us to have doubts about God loving us, we will not be cultivating that love. And our brother prayed that God has manifested to us His love. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if God is a God of love, and He is in our life, and if the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, then in God's working in us and through us, He wants to manifest the love of God through us. And if we doubt God's love, if we're not cultivating God's love, then God's love will not be manifested in our life one way or another. Now that's a very logical deduction and a correct deduction. It was love that was wounded. And as we consider this picture here, as we read these scriptures and try to conjure up a picture of all of this, as we consider the picture of God's people of Malachi's day, we see some unsightly colors of spiritual we see here is not a denial of God. There was not a denial of God with these people. They were giving some recognition to Almighty God. It was not that they had stopped offering sacrifices. They were going through the motions. But it is spiritual deterioration, not a denial of God, but we see them headed in that direction. Here we have insensibility to spiritual values. And my friend, I would want to think that you have been saved long enough to know that it is insensibility to spiritual values and inappreciation for God and for the things of God that throws the heart door wide open to carnal interest and to worldly appeal. God wants His honor. Now, let's look down at verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Our brother spoke of reverential fear in his prayer. Where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? I repeat, this is a solemn and serious charge. And here God is speaking directly to the spiritual leaders. Now, if the spiritual leaders were guilty of this, can we expect anything more in the way of godliness from those who follow the spiritual leaders? So here is charge number 2 that God brings against His people. They were not only doubting God's love, they were despising God's name. Now, to disesteem, to despise the name of the Lord betrays inward perversion. The people of Malachi's day were in a very sad spiritual condition. And we do marvel at that when we consider, as we said on the Lord's Day, that we're thinking only about, about 50 years from the time that they went back from the Babylonian captivity to the land of Israel when they started rebuilding the wall and the city. But you know, as we consider these serious charges brought against them about 50 years after their return. And we will be reading Nehemiah chapter 10 later, considering the commitment that they made to the Lord, and now here they are in this sad spiritual condition. It is a reminder that it doesn't take us long to get out of touch with the Lord. It doesn't take us long to become cold and indifferent and critical in our hearts. It doesn't take long. We need to cultivate that love. But here is inward perversion. Now, the extent to which they were despising God's name is evident in view of how their forebears reverenced the name of God. I looked at my record. Can you believe it was 2 years ago that we considered the names of God? I thought it was last year. It was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. You will remember in that study, perhaps, that we pointed out that that personal name for God, that high and lofty name for God in the Old Testament is Jehovah, or more specifically, Yahweh. That is his personal name. That indicates who he is, the self-existent one, the uncaused cause. We considered, you might remember, three primary names for God. And I trust you will remember, in the Old Testament, particularly the King James Version and a lot of other versions, In most instances, when you see God spelled capital G, small O, D, in most instances, it is Elohim, the generic word for God. Capital G, small O, D, in most instances, Elohim. When you see the word Lord, capital L, small O, R, D, it is Adonai. Adonai. That, like Elohim, is in the plural. When you see the word God, all capital letters, or Lord, as you see it here in Malachi, look at verse 1. There it is. The burden of the word of the Lord, all capital letters, and whether it's Lord with all capital letters or God, G-O-D, with all capital letters, it is Jehovah or Yahweh. And it's interesting, too, that this word Lord, all capital letters, is found at least 16 times in chapter 1. In 14 little verses. 16 times. And Lord is found 47 times in these four little chapters. God is really emphasizing his name. Look at verse 11. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and the pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. They were despising God's name. I say we consider to the extent that they had gone down spiritually as regarding the name of Jehovah, when we think of their forebears who would not even speak that name. They would not even speak it with such reverence, and maybe later out of superstition and fear. God had said, whoever takes his name in vain will be put to death. And so the Jews, the forebearers, had gotten to that point where they would not even speak the name. They would not even speak it. The name of Almighty God, they would not speak it. And so the meaning of it was lost, or the pronunciation of it was lost. And there eventually came about that tetragrammaton, remember, consisting of four letters, J-H-Y-H, or J-H-W-H, or Y-H-W-H, as the Jews would render it. Just four letters, Y-H-W-H. How would you pronounce that? Well, they would simply refer to the name. And remember when the Masoretic scribes after the Babylonian captivity, in their determination before God to preserve the scriptures, the Masoretic scribes in writing the scriptures, they introduced the vowel point, and they put in the vowels of that name Adonai, and then they used the same vowel point coming over to those four letters, YHWH. They put the same vowel from Adonai into those four letters. That is that high and lofty personal name of God. So once those vowel points from Adonai were put in, then it would have been pronounced maybe Yahovah. Or many Bible scholars believe Yahweh. So why did they use the vowel point from Adonai put into those four letters? So when the Jews saw those four letters with the vowel point, they would not attempt to pronounce that name Yahweh, they would pronounce Adonai. And now here in Malachi's day, the charge that God brought against them is that you despise my name. My. Now there is a bright spot here in this little book. As we said, in addition to a revelation of unfailing love of Jehovah and a revelation of human infidelity to that love, here is a revelation of the secret of strength, or the secret of strength in an age of failure. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Here is the bright spot right here. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord, here is Jehovah or Yahweh, and here is that reverential fear. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. When the scholars, there were 70 of them, who translated the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, a few Aramaic portions, but primarily the Hebrew scriptures, there were 70 scholars, and this would take us between the Testaments, 70 scholars who translated the Old Testament Hebrew text into the Greek language, because there were so many Greek-speaking Jews. So they translated the Hebrew text into the Greek language so that the Greek-speaking Jews could read the Old Testament scriptures in this new language, the only one that they knew, the Greek language. They could read the Old Testament scriptures in the Greek language. That translation is known as the Septuagint. Big word simply meaning 70. There were 70 scholars who did the translation work. When these translators came to verse 16, and they wrote about that small remnant, I said small, I would think from all that we have here, that those who were in contrast to the rest, against whom the charges were brought, were a relatively small number. And that's the case with any dispensation, isn't it? As we go through the Bible, whatever dispensation we study, we will find a small remnant that stands true to God. They come through. And here is the remnant here in Malachi's day. They had that reverential fear of the Lord, and they were thinking upon His name. others were despised. So, when the translators came to this verse, and that word thought, what Greek word did they use in the translation? They thought upon his name. Well, I'll tell you what word they used. They used the same word that the Apostle Paul used in writing Philippians, which was written in the Greek language. The translators, when writing that word thought upon his name, used the same word that Paul used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. When he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And this word in the Old Testament, they thought upon his name, is elsewhere rendered regard or regarded. And what are we to understand when we read, they thought upon his name? They took spiritual inventory of his name. They were meditating upon the Lord and upon his name and something of what that name means. They regarded his name. This faithful remnant were those who were thinking, we are associated with the Lord God Almighty. We name his name. And how many times have we heard and read what God said to his people as recorded back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what this faithful remnant was doing. They were thinking about the name of Almighty God, meditating upon that name with the realization that they were associated with that name. And here we name the name of the Lord. God says, you've despised my name. Wherein have we despised thy name? God has said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and my name is I Am. Exodus 3, verses 6 and 14. So they were thinking about the name of Almighty God. Now, to forget God, as another has said, is not to think of it. It's not to think of it. I mean, it stands to reason. If they are doubting the love of God, then they're certainly not cultivating that love. They're not showing forth his love in their lives. I mean, that's understandable. So to forget God is not to think of him. It means not to thank him. It means not to worship him. It means not to serve him and obey him. Oh, they were going through the motions. But God said, I'm tired of it all. I'm tired. I'm tired of your words. I'm tired of you going through the motions. Not to think of him and not to thank him, not to worship him, not to serve him and obey him, is to forget his presence, his providence, his precepts, and his power. You know, my brother, my sister in the Lord, would to God, we, in our everyday activities, would think more about the Lord and his name, and just meditate to whatever extent we are able as to what his name means. David said he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me digress just for a minute or two. There is a very unusual court case developing in my home state of Virginia. You know, when we think we've heard them all, we haven't. In Charlottesville, Virginia, a few years ago, the babies were slipped. Have you been seeing that on the news? Several years ago, the babies were switched. And I don't know about both mothers, but one mother didn't know anything about it. Maybe the other one didn't either. The babies were switched. But through various circumstances, the mother discovered that something was not right. And I believe it was a reporter who helped her uncover the story. And it seems that it was a criminal act, at least they think so at this point in time. Now, they have certain laws in Virginia regarding such cases. And even the laws on the books are conflicting in this particular situation. Because this mother found that not only were babies sick, but the parents who got her child were killed in an automobile accident, and now her child is an orphan. Looking at it from that standpoint. And so this is a strange situation. It'll be interesting just to see how this will be played out in the courts. Very strange indeed. But I caught this mother on the news the other night. And I'm not speaking critical of her. I'm simply telling you what I heard and what I saw on television. She was weeping, rightly so. And she said, I do not understand why God allowed this. Why God brought this about. I might not be quoting her verbatim. I do not know why God did this, I think is what she said. I don't know why God did this. I take it that she was referring to the switch. I don't know why God did this. Unless it is because of the situation as it is right now. That is, the other parents haven't been killed. But it made me think of these charges, doubting God's love and despising God's name. And if you're going to do one, you're going to wind up doing the other and all the rest. But listen, dear friends, and I know this is easy to say, this is easy to preach, but when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, or as J. Vernon McGee would say, where the rubber meets the road, then it's a different matter. But we cannot interpret God's love by our circumstances. We are to interpret our circumstances by God's love. Now, that might not be easy to do in many instances. But it's a matter of whether or not we have confidence in who He is and all that His name stands for in the Word of God. There is salvation in His name. Jesus is Jehovah. And Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is salvation in that name. There is forgiveness in that name. 1 John 2:12, John said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Peter said, at that golden gate to the man who was begging, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, and nothing else." Power in that name, salvation in that name, forgiveness in that name, there's worship in that name, where two or three are gathered together in my name, my name. There is prayer in that name, whatsoever you ask in my name. There is operating authority for words and deeds in that name. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in that name. For his honor, and for his glory. I trust we will meditate on the name that God has allowed us to take upon ourselves in naming you. We belong to you. Let us meditate upon that name and what that name means, with the realization that we name his name. And with his help, let's bring honor and glory to his name. Let's sing a cappella, just the chorus, "Blessed be the name."
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Father, we do not want to be guilty of what those of Malachi's day were guilty of. We want to honor and glorify this name which is above every name. And as we go day by day through our daily routine, our activities, may we be conscious of the presence of Almighty God, realizing that we name his name. He is the God of love, and may the love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts be evident in our life. May we be good testimonies for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless.